You did not choose me. I chose you. You did not and could not make a move towards me until my Father, who draws all to himself, made a move and pulled you close. I remind you again, you were chosen. And remember, many are called, but very few are chosen. The status of the chosen is to go higher. Those that are called have an opportunity to be chosen, but they usually flow with what they know. My quest is to take you with me higher. My quest is to give you a passion for each other. My quest is to do what I did on that day that I was laid on that cross. For I changed my disciples that day. And you are being changed this day. How you think and react about yourself. And how you focus. In the days ahead, you will see a change. And there will be more compassion to those that are hurting than you've ever known before. Because I'm placing it now in you. If you choose to receive it, you will go higher. If you choose to reject it, I will remind you what I spoke to Judas. Go do quickly what you've chosen to do. For I will always respect your free will. I never change. I'm always the same. And those who have a hunger to be changed, I will change. But the permission has to be granted by you. I will not violate your will. I will not violate your heart. I will not violate that which you want because I created you to be free. I remind you, I created you to be free. Many of you live in torment to satisfy the flesh of others and the thoughts of others because you fear rejection and persecution and you bow to that spirit. I remind you that the spirit of fear is not your friend, he's your enemy. If you ask for grace to change it, I will allow you to bow to love, which is my nature. And love will lift you up. Love will overwhelm all darkness. Love will overwhelm all fear. Trust me with your love to those that don't like you, don't appreciate you, don't understand you. Trust me that by love, you will conquer. For I conquered every foe by choosing to love them. How many had a tangible reality of his presence today? Put your hand up. I want you to look around. something you can feel, something you know he's doing. Claude, I was getting dressed this morning, and I was pressed of the Lord to change my plans for a different pair of shoes. And I said to the Lord, okay, which ones? And the shoes that I placed your feet in are the shoes that walked all over Israel 11 years ago. He told me to wear them, and he showed me that you were to put them on. And that even though they may be big at the moment, you'll fill them later.
I won't be able to run with it.
Not to run, but you'll fill them later. And, yes, dear.
I just remembered that at that time when I woke up after I seen that vision,
yeah.
I felt that was the hour of the garden.
Yes.
When they came to arrest him.
Amen. That's very right. See, the hour is important on every level. And I believe when Judas was given his commission, go do quickly what you've got to do. It had to be in the midst of the night. There was no choice. And he did what he was commissioned of God to do. I think more than anything else, our Savior would have preferred a different way. Amen?
Amen.
But he also reminded him, and you deny me with a kiss? The very object of his love is to kiss and to release kisses. And I think sometimes we underestimate God's grace and God's love. And when we do, we're just short-circuiting ourselves. You know, Peter, I would say, was brought up probably rough and tough. And yet, I believe it's in 1 Peter, the last chapter, the last few sentences. He said, greet each other with a holy kiss from the heart, full of affection. Well, I've got news for you. That's one of the hardest things to do sometimes, because you've got a man to man or a woman to woman, and the Lord will tell you, give them a kiss of affection. It's not too bad if it's your wife, but boy, will it bring on an onslaught of persecution. Because you're obeying what a hard man was taught to do. Where do you think he learned to kiss? And who do you think kissed him to change him? I'm telling you, when you obey, you will be in Masada. The other thing that I want to tell you is, two things came in loud and clear this morning as I was waiting upon the Lord. Number one, God provided a cave and a little brook for Elijah. God provided a cave for King David. Now, you and I would not bow to that kind of stuff because we prefer to live in a castle. Yeah. Amen? Give me a high tower, Lord, so I can see all around. I'm nosy. I want to see everything. A few weeks ago, we celebrated my great-granddaughter's third birthday. When we celebrated her second birthday, we celebrated it in this room. I had my whole family in this room. Quite a day. This year, we opted for a different room so we would have less work because of the time slot that we were celebrating in. And there's a reason for me to tell you this. We were upstairs in the Mayfair room, which is absolutely gorgeous and lots of light and big windows and very, very attractive. It was all set up, ready for the birthday party. One of my sons said to me, "Well, this is better than a cave." I believe he didn't use cave, but he used the word dungeon. And I thought, you know, how that word, I didn't respond. I couldn't respond. But what I wanted you to know is God puts us where he wants us. Yesterday, this friend of mine that comes all the way from Canada sees the sign outside in the tavern. He says, "Ichabod!" And he kind of bent forward. "Come on, Ron. You're next anyway." So I said, "Yeah," and God hit us underneath. Did you get it? Why? Look at your neighbor and say, "God's got a plan for you. And if he wants you in a cave, hidden, that's his plan, not yours. So celebrate the cave. Don't look to be in a tower when your season is caveman." Amen? Come on, man. Put your hands towards him. Father, we just want to bless this man. We want to just give him all the abilities under the anointing of your Spirit so that he'll bring forth your message today. Not to bring glory to any man or woman, but to touch the hearts of your saints in Jesus' name. Those of you who don't know Ron, he's a brother in Christ from many years. He's from Granby, Canada. And just be ready for what God has put in his heart.
For a big change, we'll start with the book of Revelation. Mr. Lord, I did not fully understand at the time this started, but he has been keeping me there for... You can't hear me?
Speak a little louder, yeah.
Oh. For the past 5 or 6 months, the Lord has been keeping me in the book of Revelation. At first, I didn't know what he would show me or what he was trying to tell me. But I kept on going back. Every time I sat down at the house, I kept going back in there. And it was always the first chapter and the first 6 verses. And for a while, I just wasn't getting anything much out of it. And then all of a sudden, every time I sat down and started, I would start reading from the first verse right through to the sixth. Once at the sixth verse, it stopped right there. I couldn't go any further. I couldn't figure out why. But all that he wanted to show me, and in many, many ways, all had to do with those first 6 verses. We'll read it together. I'm reading out of the Amplified. "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants certain things which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. And he sent and communicated it through his angel or messenger to his bondservant John, who has testified to and vouched for all that he saw in his visions, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who reads it aloud, in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy, to be envied are those who hear it read, and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart. For the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Now he starts, that's John's letter, starts from that point. John to the seven assemblies or churches that are in Asia. May grace, God's unmerited favor, be granted to you, and spiritual peace, the peace of Christ's kingdom, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits, meaning the sevenfold Holy Spirit, which stands before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the full and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth. To him, whoever loves us and has once and for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood, and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory forever, and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So be it. In those six verses, if you read them and ask God to show you what it is that he's trying to speak about in here, first of all, Christ, our Savior, was receiving revelation from his Father continually. We have to remember he was fully man when he came on the earth. So he had to seek the Father and listen to the Father's instructions the same way we do. And even these here, as we read it, and if we pay close attention and ask God to show us what it's really talking about, even this portion of what is given in the book of Revelation, it was disclosed to him once he was back in heaven. He had no knowledge of it before, that, or he may have had it, but could not transfer it to the disciples at that time. It was to come at a later date. And he gets this, and he discloses it by his messenger to his bond servants. Now, why does he use the term bond servant? There were many other servants that followed Jesus when he was on earth, but he chose a bond servant, meaning one who is completely and totally sold out to him. He is not listening to anybody else, if especially if they are not in the Spirit. He's listening for his Lord. He gets instructions, his instructions, from the Lord personally. So that means he has a price to pay to get there. He's different from anybody else. And on this, we're referring to John, who was the beloved disciple of Jesus, who was always the closest one to the Lord's heart. It's not by any chance that he's the one chosen for it. Because he's the one out of all 12 that stayed the closest to the Lord. He was always after his Lord's heart. He wanted to know the heartbeat of his Lord. So he is the chosen vessel to bring it about. So we have to totally abandon our lives over to the Lord in every aspect of our life if we want to get any further ahead and receive greater knowledge. There's all kinds of knowledge. We see it all around us. But divine knowledge of mysteries that are still yet to come. Because we got to remember, he said in the Old Testament,
you have not seen nor heard all of what the Lord has prepared for you. We'll just take an example in Jesus' walk when he was on the earth. When he healed that person by making mud on the ground and giving back the eye of a person, can you tell me anywhere in this book, especially the Old Testament, because the New Testament at that time was not written, where is that written? I have been searching the Word of God for years, and I have not found any scripture where it states, just make some mud out of a bit of ground and then put it in the person's eye, and you'll get a new eye. I haven't found that. So where did he get that information? It had to be revealed to him by the Father at the time for filling the need of that person. So it takes dedication and complete abandonment of ourselves. Be willing to die to all of our ideals, all of our thoughts, all of our plannings, anything that we might think would be right. We have to be willing to give it up to follow him and get our instructions from him so that we can move ahead and do whatever it is that he wants us to do. But first we have to let him build us. See, it took the Father 30 years to build Christ for the ministry he had called him for. Christ never entered ministry until he was 30 years old. He was built in all that time. And a lot of people think, well, Jesus was Jesus and the Father was the Father. But yet, if you read the scriptures very closely, you will find that it was God the Father himself who was present in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us that. Another example that we have in the Word that shows us that it was the Father himself who was in Christ. If you read the Gospel, and there's an account where the disciples were all sitting around the Lord, and they asked him, well, show us the Father and it will suffice us. He turns around and he looks at the one who had just asked the question. Why? Have I been here so long with you that you don't know me? The same thing could be said of our brother. If I keep my eyes on my brother as my brother's kin, but forget to look for the Lord in him, I miss the mark. Well, it's the same thing for any one of us. Let's get our eyes off of the man or woman in front of us and look to the Lord. And if we look to the Lord, we will be able to get to see the Lord using and living in that person, if that person has a close walk with his Lord. And that's what we all got to look for. And the Word of God says, we are not to look at one another in the flesh, or even know one another according to the flesh, but we are to know and recognize one another after the manner of the Spirit. We got a lot of work to do, because most people follow and run after the man, and that is where people get led astray into all kinds of wrong doctrines, wrong teachings, because they're not looking for the right thing. The motives are completely wrong and off. So we've got to get our eyes looking to the Lord rather than the flesh. And the Word of God also tells us that we are the house or the temple or the habitation of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And Jesus said to us, personally when he was on earth, I will build my house, or my church. All of these terminologies, the house, the church, temple, they're all synonymous. Take any one of you. Are you three different persons? No, you're one person, but you're three parts. You're made in three parts. Your spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. We're built and created in the very image of God Himself. God is one person, just three different manifestations. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three in one. And if people don't believe that particular part, go and take a good look at Mark chapter 12, verse 29. Jesus reproved the Jewish people with that verse because they were looking at it in a different way. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord your God is one." It's Mark 12:29. When I saw that, I kind of sat back and I started to think and ask the Lord, "How come is that?" He started by asking me the question, "Where are you three different persons?" I had to reflect on my own self. No, I'm not three different persons. I'm one person, but I'm made of three parts. I'm spirit. I have a soul, which is the mind, will, and the emotions, but I live in the physical body. But still one person. And if we are, each one of us, individually, and all of us corporately, we are the house or the temple of God. Have you ever seen a house build another house? I have. Anyone that does construction, my brother here works in construction, so he would know that. A house cannot build another person, another house, but the Lord God who dwells in us, and He is with us, He is the builder of the house, or the temple, or the habitation. Because He says He does not dwell in houses made by human hands. So He dwells in the very human beings that He's created. That's His place. He's been there from the beginning, but the veil came down at the sin place in Eden. When we come to Him, the veil gets removed. But it's this part that we have to retrain. That we have to allow God to change, to transform into what it is that He has prepared us for. It always kind of amazed me that even from childhood, when I was young, I always had the desire to become a missionary. Maybe I was brought up a Catholic like most people here, but even young, 5 years old, 6 years old, my biggest desire was to become a missionary. And I couldn't understand that. I couldn't figure out why have I got that desire for. You see, God placed these things in each of us. It may be one thing for one person, another thing for another, but all these desires are placed in us right from the very beginning. And at first I had a hard time with that. But when He showed me Jeremiah 1:5, that kind of woke certain things up in me to make me realize that, hey, He knew me before even I was born. Before I was born, He says that He formed me in my mother's womb. Boy, that's a mind blower to somebody that's coming from our background. Because we'd never heard any such thing whatsoever, and it's to the human mind, it's unthinkable, unfathomable. Nonetheless, it's a truth. These are all things that we have to embrace and believe because He says it's so. There's no man that can create another man. Only He can do it. When we come to that realization, and the realization by revelation of when God shows us, then that's when we begin to get a whole new perspective on life.
That's when we begin to realize that, hey, of my own self, I can do nothing. Even Jesus, our Lord, when he walked the earth, said it in a very plain manner, if we'll stop to think about it. He says, I'm here only to do the will of my Father. That's all I do. So in other words, I do what I see my Father do. So he had to see in the realm of the Spirit in order to do what he did. And it's the same for speaking. I only say that which I hear my Father say. And the works, my Father doeth the works. Ooh. Many people thought that Jesus, the flesh and bone man that walked the shores of Galilee, was the one doing all these miracles. The Father was doing the miracles through the Son. And he's looking to do the very same thing through each one of us here. He wants to live his life in each one of us the same way he did with Jesus when he came on earth. To be filled with the Spirit of the Father to the point where, whether it be Kim, Ron, Claude, or any one of us, it's no longer us that live, but Christ that lives in us. When we get to the point we can make a statement like Paul wrote in Galatians, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in us. If Christ gets to live in us, then we will see greater works. And the works that the Lord did. Because he will be the one doing them in each one of us and through us. It's the only way it can go. And one other thing that made me realize a lot of things is each one of us, throughout life, it doesn't matter who it is, we've all had kind of plans or thought that we knew how to do these works. And the Word of God in the book of Proverbs tells us many, many are the plans and the designs of man. And in the Word, he's not talking about those on the outside. He's talking about us, the body of Christ. Many in the body of Christ have all kinds of plans and designs. Well, we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll build the kingdom. We'll build the kingdom? Ooh. Wrong thoughts. Wrong things. And God, in his Word in the book of Proverbs, says it so. Many are the plans and designs of man, but God's plans and God's designs are the ones that will be accomplished. Oh, we'll get to a certain degree, but all of a sudden we hit a wall, and that's about as far as it goes. And usually it starts going down the other way. But when you let God be God and do whatever it is that he wants to do, let him live through you, it'll be a completely new dimension and a new ball game, if you want to put it that way. And it's all little things that we have to come to that realization. It took a long time for me to come to that realization. I lost, well, put it in this term, 30 some odd years of being the other way, thinking, hey, I had it. I knew. At one time there, you could have quoted a verse of the Bible and asked me where it was written. And as soon as you quoted, the book, chapter, and verse would come on my mind. I could tell you exactly where everything was written. And the Lord woke me to something, a realization some years back, that there was a great danger of that. You know what happened? A man like my brother here was preaching, and all of a sudden he didn't know where a certain verse was, but he knew what the Word said, but he didn't know where it was. And he turned around and he looked at me and he says, hey, the concordance over there, where is this written? And he quotes the verse.
no sooner said word, the quotation of the book, chapter, and verse came out of my mouth. And that's when I saw the red light. Nobody actually saw it happen, but inside my heart, all I saw was a red light. So I started questioning the Lord. Why am I seeing the red light? Why is there a danger to what I'm doing? It says, all kinds of head knowledge, but no reality, no revelation of what it's really saying. There's all kinds of verses that were coming up, but none of it was relevant. And not only that, if the person that is bringing the message is open to the Spirit will either give him the message, or he'll give him the words, and he'll tell the people, well, search it out. Because you've got to work. Things are not just handed down just like this. You sit in your chair and all of a sudden everything will come down. No, there's a price to pay where you have to take the time to get with the Lord and really seek His face and ask for the revelation. What does that mean? There's all kinds of things in there, and he showed me a book yesterday. As a matter of fact, the book is there. And I've been wondering about certain things, but when I saw that, I realized again, there is so much of the Word that we haven't even got a clue of what it means and what it's really saying. So it's high time that we get our act together and really seek the Lord for what He wants to do with us. Because He's going to have to transform us, get all of these wrong ideas, all these wrong thoughts that we have. Get them out of the way so that He can implant His thoughts, His knowledge, and His wisdom. But not for us to use, but for Him to use us as He wills it. Even Jesus, when He walked the earth, He says, I'm not here to do mine own will, but the will of the one who sent me. So that's why when you hear someone that says here, hey, we're going to work for the Lord, we're going to go and do this for the Lord. Wrong thoughts, wrong actions, just back off. And go to the Lord. What is it, Lord, that You want me to do? What is it that You have for me to do? And wait. If He says nothing, and I'll give you a proof of this. I thought I was totally wrong by not belonging to a particular assembly in the city where I was. I've been seeking the Lord and asking the Lord, where is it You want me to go? I've been doing that for over 2 years. And you know what? I sit there and sometimes I'd be sitting there and just waiting on the Lord, just waiting for an answer. Not one answer in over 2 years as to where He wants me to go. But then, every now and then, He reminds me of something He said a long time ago. And I found that one really hard to swallow. He says, I will teach you. I will show you what I want you to do. And when the time comes, and this He prophesied, He used, I don't remember who it was that prophesied it, but He said that when it would be time for me to move out, He would let me know and I would be obedient. And that kind of took me by surprise. But He said it in that way. When it will be time, you will know. Because I will trust you out there. And it is I that will do it, and you will be obedient. And there was no, you might be obedient or you may be obedient. The word in the prophecy was very exact. You will be obedient. Oh boy.
He knows your heart.
He knew things in my life and about me, because He's the one that forms us, so He knows everything about us. He knows even secrets that we don't even realize. I'm finding out lately of things that went on in my life in my past that happened years and years ago. People are just opening up and letting me know about them things, and that's yet I'm the one that lived it, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it was happening behind my back from my own father. I'm finding all kinds of things up in the last 8 or 9 years there. Sometimes, every now and then, one of them opens up. Oh, did you know about this? I didn't have a clue. I found out that 3 times in my life, my early years, my father tried to give me away. I found that out in the last year. The only thing I realized that my grandfather, his father, must have talked to him and straightened him out, because that was the last place where he dumped me. And I was 15 years old when he dumped me, when he did that. And he just didn't want me around in the house.
Too hot to handle.
That's one of the things, but that was not his reasoning. I know that for a fact.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, I know. So the message, in a way, is timely, because all of this that God wants us and that he's preparing us for, he paid for this on this very day.
Yeah.
On the Friday. That's the day that he took everything that we were, and some of the things that we still are, because there's a lot of us that still has to go. But yet he took it upon himself. But in a way, here's another way of looking at it. It was the Father God confessing these things on his Son. Everything that we were and that we still are, and that those that are coming after us and those that were before us, all of it was being confessed and put on our Lord and Savior for it to be done away with. And if you remember what some of the verses said, and through this blood that he shed, Calvary Street, he has once and for all freed us, set us free from the power of sin. Once and for all, it's done. But yet, many of us still walk around with that mentality that, hey, I'm still a poor old sinner, saved by grace. And tied up to this, and tied up to that, with all kinds of things. And yet he tells us, right there, he has once and for all set us free. He has liberated us from the conscience of sin. From the power of sin. And our big trouble is, many of us have a hard time believing that it's, and we bind ourselves up with all kinds of things that, because of lack of understanding, lack of revelation of what the Word is really saying to us. That's why it's important. See, he brought this thing about revelation yesterday. It was quite timely, because this is what I've been getting in for the past 7 or 8 months, is getting this. Lord, that's why. I couldn't figure out, but every time I sat, I'd be maybe an hour or two, and I'd get a different message. Sometimes just out of one verse. He'd take me throughout the entire Bible. But the thing is, I was not allowed to write notes at that time. I still can't, for the life of me, figure out why. So I'm going to ask him from now on. I want revelation, but be able to kept reference quotations. I hear the Word. I hear the verses that he's bringing to me as I go, every time I sit down. But no time to... It's just like I'm gone. I'm in there. I'm completely in another world. Then when I come out, I have slight remembrance of what happened at that time, but I can't put it on paper. I don't have the references, and he won't show them to me. So, one of the things that I realized from that is that it comes out whenever it is that he desires it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can bring it to remembrance. Amen. And if you want a basis for this, Go to the Gospel of John, and I believe it's the 14th chapter, verses 24, 25, and 26, when he says, "When the Spirit of truth is come, he will put you in remembrance of all of the words of life, and he will teach you all things." I used that verse many years ago to train my spirit to remember every verse quotations. And that was the one verse that I used that I got to a point where I could, somebody would speak a verse and I would know exactly where it was. It's because somehow through the reading, because your eyes, your ears, and your mouth are all gates for the entrance of the Word. And the reading, my eyes were seeing the book, the chapter and the verse, and I kept confessing to the Lord, "Thank you, Lord God, that you are putting me in remembrance of all of the words of life and that you are giving me the book, chapter, and verse to go along with it." I did that for 3 years. And it got to a point somebody would just say a word and instantly I'd have the verse. I just turn the Bible, turn the page, and get right onto it. And it was right there. And all the times that it happened, no mistakes, until that one day when that red light came on. And I made the mistake of saying to the Lord, "Remove that ability from me." And instantly, gone. Think he don't listen to you? Ooh, I got another news for you. He hears everything. I asked him to remove that ability from me, but I did not specify when it comes to others, when others are preaching. I want it back for myself so that whenever it is that he gives me something, I can go and verify and check out with the Word. And that's my next step. I'm getting back to this so that I get that ability back from him. I'm sure he'll give it back to me, but it'll be only for whenever it is that he wants to use me, I'll be able to go back and forth. And the other thing, we'll get into a bit of a testimony from this point. I was for a time, how many know that the Lord at one point in time or another, he'll use you to go to a certain area and you wonder, you're getting there, and you wonder what you're doing there. Why are you going to such a place, or why are you going to visit such a person? Standing there and you don't know. It happened to me for a period of about, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. I'd be driving along, going either shopping or to pick up certain things, and all of a sudden I'd end up in a particular place. I'd sit in the car, what in the world am I doing here? Why am I here? And all of a sudden, just go up and see this person, and it happened to be someone that I knew quite well. I'd get in there, and would just say hello, and had no goals, nothing prepared whatsoever. And all of a sudden, maybe after 5 or 10 minutes, get in this word, and the Lord would have me travel back and forth between the Old and the New Testament and expound on the Scriptures. And as soon as I'm out of there, couldn't remember a thing of what I shared with or shared about. It was all gone. So, when you are available to the Spirit of God and you want to be used, you desire to be used of God, he will give you foretaste of what it can be like to move and live in the realm of the Spirit. He'll have you go places and just, you don't even know what you're there for, but these people that he sends you to are in need most of the time. Or have been asking the Lord. There's another thing. Some of these people have been asking the Lord, "Well, send someone to help me out. I need to be blessed. I need to receive fresh words from you." And you're going someplace, and then all of a sudden you kind of turn around and end up somewhere else, and you wonder why. I lived that experience for 3 years.
I'm always wondering, what in the world am I doing here? Why am I in with this person? Well, they had meeting it. They had been asking. She finally told me about after a certain time, well, we've been asking the Lord. We needed word of confirmation, or needed some teaching, because, you know, it's dry. There's nothing in this city. And I'd end up there, and the Lord would have me going back and forth between the Old and New Testament, and next time on scriptures, and getting explanation. And many times, well, Lord, you're going to have to show me what this is all about, because even I didn't know fully the answers at that time. But he would just speak them out through my mouth. There are many times, I'll tell you, I was quite surprised. I said, oh, Lord, you're going to have to show me that. You're going to have to show me in your word what it is that you just said, because I don't know. And you would. After a while, I'd get home and start looking at, well, now, Lord, show me what it is that you meant by that answer that you gave to the person. And all of a sudden, he would start to explain what it meant. Okay, all right, Lord. Thank you. And that went on for years.
So we all have to get to be that way. In verse 5, another point that I wanted to bring about.
It talks about that Jesus is the faithful witness. He is the only faithful witness. If you remember the Gospels, God and Jesus had said, you shall be my witnesses. Then he did not see, you shall. You say, you shall witness. He says, you shall be my witnesses. In order to be his witnesses, and faithful witnesses, we have to let him be the witness in and through us. Because witness means you've seen certain things. You've seen the Father do certain things. So for us, it has to be the same. We have to be able to see him doing certain things and then go and do it. Or hear him say certain truth and then proclaim these very truths. Because if the Lord said, I only say that which I hear my Father say, and do what I see my Father do, the same thing works for us. Even it is more needful for us than it was for him. He is our example. If it was so for him, that much more for us. So that's why we have to do away with a lot of brain teaching or brainstorming and listen to the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us in what it is that he has prepared. And many of the times we will learn our lessons through all of this. So this is pretty well what the Lord had given me, so we will stop at this point and just ask the Lord to really place upon us and give us his spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. That is the most important thing. See, that prayer that Paul prayed, I believe is Colossians, Pastor? Yeah. Third chapter, if I remember correctly. It says where we are to pray the Lord to receive that spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Because he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He also said, I am the truth. So we'll leave you with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.